You're listening to In Conversation. I'm Joe McGill. If you want to get in touch with me during the week, you can email me, jmcgill@radiokerry.ie. I'm looking out the window here, and I'm looking across at West Kerry and Inch Beach and Ross Bays in the distance. We're here in Dukes. What a beautiful surrounding we're in. And I'm here in Joanne Morgan's place of work in Dukes, who has spent the last 20 years studying various therapies, such as integrated energy therapy, neuro-linguistic programming, and quantum thinking technology. She's also a business and life coach, and she specializes in treating people with anxiety. Now, we want to give tips to people at home, but actually just the room itself here, how important is a space like that? And you often hear it like the yin and yang and, you know, a room and energies of a room. How important is that, even in a house? You know, you come into some rooms and they're very dark, and or there's the sitting room that is never used only maybe once in the year, that's kind of a, you know, not a very warm place. How important is that in a person's house?
Yeah, it is actually very important, because when people walk in, they often comment how the feeling in this room or the energy in this room is very different. And that would be because every day, every morning, I clear the room, set it up for healing. So it's creating a really safe space. And then I actually energetically cleanse the whole house as well. So it's very much commented when people walk through the door, God, the energy here is really different. And it's amazing how people do sense and feel that.
Yeah,
so energy, because a lot of people are sensitive to energies and do pick it up.
Yeah, because even like when I clean the office at home or the room or something, you feel so much better after. Yeah. And even for a few days after coming into this space, you've decluttered it.
Yeah, it does. The decluttering is absolutely fantastic as well for the mind and for the actual physical space. And it does make a difference, because every item, every piece of furniture, everything has an energy vibration. So it's important to keep them clear and cleansed. And
how do you mean an energy vibration? No, not to sound like acidic, but like what some people know will be listening to this going, what does that mean? That's up in the air, that energy vibration. What do you mean by it?
Yeah, I suppose everyone has their own individual energy vibration. Some of us vibrate at a higher vibration, which is kind of like, say, love, joy, happiness, peace. And more of us vibrate in a lower vibration, which might be fear, guilt, shame. Lower vibrational energy. So everything has an energy.
Yeah. Even an inanimate object.
Yeah, because everything has an energy. So what I do then is, in terms of clearing, is clearing the energy, clearing the room, because also working with clients, in every story and everything that I hear, there's energy being exchanged or left in the room, because thoughts are energy. Everything is energy.
Yeah.
So then when there's healing work done or stories being told of the past, whatever they may be, because you hear a lot, it's important to clear all that as well energetically and send that all.
And something that's coming to my head there as well, like you mentioned people, like you hear the expression mourning Michael and negative Nancy, and maybe surround yourself with these people. They can actually drag you down, can't they?
Absolutely. So there is a very good example of energy, because you ask, what is energy? Absolutely. We can actually feel our energy being depleted or drained by certain people. Or have you ever been in a situation where you're in company where you just feel yourself being energized and you actually feel amazing walking away afterwards? You're like, God, what just happened there? I feel amazing. That's where we've been, in a really higher vibrational energy.
You're feeding off each other.
You are. Mm. Yeah, because energy has to match, okay? And this is why we've got to be careful who we choose to hang out with, because if I'm working on myself, or you're working on yourself, and you're keeping your energy, your thoughts, doing everything you can to align yourself, and you're working on feeling good and having good vibration, but then you're hanging out with a group of people that are negative, judgmental, in the lower energy vibrations of fear, shame, guilt, or ego, whatever, well, energy has to match. So if you're in that space, does your energy come down to match that? Because what are the chances of you getting that energy up to yours? So it's inevitable that there's going to be a drop.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. For people listening at home now, what can they do, like tips, for want of a better word, you know, to improve their overall well-being?
Okay. There's actually a lot that we can do ourselves, because I really do believe in empowering people. So knowledge is power. So the knowledge about ourselves is empowerment. And I suppose the one thing, or the one fact that I say to clients that really, really surprises or shocks them, is that we have 60,000 to 70,000 thoughts per day.
Per day?
Per day. And 90% of those thoughts are the same as our thoughts yesterday. So you really need to get very clinical with your thoughts. What am I thinking about myself? What am I saying to myself? Is it negative? Because if it is, and there's 60,000 to 70,000, and you're repeating 90% a day, you're actually going to believe those thoughts. So now those thoughts are creating beliefs about myself. I'm not good enough. I'm not thin enough. I'm not creative. I'm not. I'm less than. I'm not liked. I'm unlovable. That actually starts to become a belief then. And then you're creating a difficult life or an unhappy life for yourself with stuff that just started out as thoughts. So that's one thing I really think is worth watching your thoughts, because they're actually creating your future. And if you find yourself just having a thought that's negative, just don't leave it pass you. Just stop it and bat it away. And just keep doing that till you strengthen the muscle that you can actually stop those thoughts.
Exercise, anything like that, you know, the physical kind of...
Absolutely. Exercise is fantastic. Again, raises the energy vibration, keeps us happy, releases the happy hormones. Just really good for mind, body and soul. Spending time in nature. Love being in nature myself, be that at the beach or farm parks or whatever. The outdoors and nature. The energy frequency, back to energy again, at the seaside or near trees, is naturally higher. So
trees, I heard the ocean, and myself personally, I live by the ocean. I couldn't live inland. I just have that in my head that I love the sea, but I never heard the trees.
Yeah, actually, yeah. Forest, trees, parks also have a higher vibration. So if you ever noticed how if you go to the seaside or maybe walk through park, like I love the National Park, Killarney National Park, how you just start to feel a bit better or the energy starts to increase. Yes, outdoors, nature is fantastic. I'm a real fan of meditation. I know a lot of people kind of go, God, no, try that, can't do it. Because even in my workshops, I run workshops here, and meditation is part of that workshop. And people say to me, oh, no, tried it, can't do it. No, I fall asleep. There's so many kind of objections to meditation, or there's a perception that it's difficult, but it's actually not. I would just encourage people to sit for 10 minutes and just... do nothing. It doesn't have to be guided. Just sit and be still. And then as thoughts come or as sounds come, just label them with the senses. Go like sound, let it pass. A thought, let it pass. But don't run down the road with the thought or with the sound. Say, example, you hear the front door opening. You don't go, oh God, who's coming to the door now? I'm not expecting anyone back. Or you just go sound, let it off. And you'd be amazed how we can really strengthen that muscle. That our minds don't have to run the show. We're just giving it too much.
Again, that's fairly practical. And like I could see myself doing that. But you mentioned, you know, the negative thoughts and you bat them away. Positive thoughts. I suppose you almost have to create them more so. Like you heard of Bill Cullen, that he looks in the mirror in the morning, says, you are fantastic.
The
what about that?
Affirmations, yeah. Personally speaking, the affirmations never really worked all that well for me because... it's all about the feeling. I can keep telling myself I am wonderful, I am amazing, but if I'm not feeling wonderful or amazing, it's not really happening. So what I actually did with affirmations was kind of turned them on their head and came across somewhere to ask the question, why am I safe? Why am I amazing? You're literally giving the subconscious mind a job to do. You're sending it off on a journey to find all the reasons why I feel so safe or why I am amazing. And it's got a job to do, and it comes back with the data, the relevant data. And for me, that worked better than just affirmations. But they work really well, provided you can get into the energy of the vibration. So I am wonderful. Once you start getting into the energy vibration, then it works. Because that is the key of affirmations, that you feel it.
What about fake it till you make it? Or is that like building your house on sand? You know, like if you're kind of adopting a persona, I am like trying to fool yourself almost. I am a confident person. I can do this today. I'm a great salesperson. I'll be able to sell this today. But maybe in the back of your head, you're kind of thinking, I'm not really. But you often hear that fake it till you make it. What do you make of that?
Yeah.
You're almost acting as someone else to carry out a role.
You are. I suppose it really depends on what is again, everyone being individual, well, what is going on for that person behind the scenes? If there's fear or anxiety or really low self-esteem, it's really difficult then to fake it till you make it. I'd really be a fan of just going inwards and saying, okay, because we've only got like, we're pre-programmed for happiness. We've only got 7 codes that are in flow to fill our happiness. So I'd be more inclined to go in and shine a light on them and see, well, what is not working, what is not flowing.
Are we pre-programmed for happiness? Because some people would say we're the most negative people in Ireland. We'd be giving out about everything, that we're always pre-programmed for nagging and giving out.
Yeah. Yeah, it does require a good sense of humour. We actually are pre-programmed for happiness. Okay, so we all come down here onto this planet. None of us are born negative or critical or past remarkable, or we just come down here with a blank canvas. We've no preconditioning, no values, no beliefs, nothing. Okay, so the one thing we all have in our subconscious is we're hardwired, that there's a program that's running for happiness. So it's pretty simple. We come down programmed for happiness. So you'd imagine, okay, so just run along and be happy. But then in comes conditioning and beliefs, or any negative conditioning or life events or perceived events, where our codes, our hardwired, like the computer program, gets a virus. So we start undoing, or our codes for happiness start coming out of alignment, or they get whacked. So instead of feeling naturally in flow with love, or say solar plexus, feeling that I'm relevant, identity, significant, important. So now something happens in my formative years, might be bullied at school or whatever, where suddenly now I'm not feeling significant or important or relevant or lovable. So now my program is not wired as it should be, which then alters my behavior. So now I've got to start feeling relevant and important. And so I alter my behavior. So I might actually want to bully someone else, because that'll give me 1 second of feeling significant and important, where really it's very short lived. So I'd be saying, why not just go to the root and get it back into alignment? So yeah, we are pre-programmed for happiness, but then the code, we somehow mess up the codes. And then we realize that maybe in our 20s or 30s or 40s, if we're lucky, and then we spend the rest of our lives trying to get the codes back working.
My guest this evening is Joanne Morgan. We'll take a break a little more after this.